Welcome to the Super Sentai Second. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam, the best Sentai fans in the world.
And this is the podcast all about Super Sentai from the two people who know the most about Super Sentai.
I pretty much have a PhD in Super Sentai.
And today we're going to be reviewing a crossover movie with some stupid show about Bugman, I guess, whatever. But the thing that matters most is Shuriken Sentai Ninja are in this movie.
Yeah, the real main event. We get a brand new, like a whole hour-long episode of our favorite show, Super Sentai, featuring some red guy.
The best part about it is that all of their nuanced acting abilities come through even more in this episode.
Their characters, they're just so fruitful. They're so meaty. I love it.
They're such vibrant, alive characters. You believe them.
Yeah, so this week's episode, we're recording this really, really late, because the subs took a long time to come out, because the episode is twice as long as usual. It's the hour-long special. So,
it's the hour-long special that we've all waited for, all season.
Our whole lives. I guess I should be the one to give the plot synopsis like I usually do, right?
No, I'll give the plot synopsis.
Alright, go for it.
In today's episode of Shuriken Sentai Ninja, our heroes are transplanted into the world of Kamen Rider Drive. I don't know if you guys have been watching that series. We haven't really covered much about it. But Drive wants to defeat Shuriken Sentai Ninja and take them into custody automatically because heroes always fight heroes.
There's a comical misunderstanding right at the start.
I hear that Kamen Rider has a whole lot of misunderstandings.
Yeah, it's something it's famous for. That's why it's a shitty show that we don't watch.
Anyway, the villains have used a sealed shuriken in order to give something called a roidbeaud some ability to turn into a yokai. And our heroes have to defeat this yokai in order to return to their own world. And the whole cast of Kamen Rider Drive trip over themselves to fuck them over and stop it from happening.
I guess when we start talking about what we think about that, I got a lot of opinions about the cast of Kamen Rider and how they act in this episode. But continue.
Nobody cares a whole lot about your opinions.
Oh, yeah, I know. I learned that the hard way.
Who listens to a podcast to hear people's opinions?
Ugh.
Disgusting.
I just listen to it so I can have something to listen to while I play Dynasty Warriors. God.
Anyway, we meet Budu Budu.
Budu Budu.
Our villain, our monster, our yokai of the episode. Mm-hmm. And he has this ability called Slowdown. And apparently it's like a drive thing. Slowdown makes everybody slow. It's like it's the best named move ever. Who thought of it? It's so intelligent.
It slows things down. Who'd have fucking thought?
It's so clever. Such good writing for adults. Ugh.
I'm so upset that these shows don't cater to adults.
Where's the blood? Where are the tits?
The blood is dripping down that one character's lip in one episode.
That's true.
You know?
That's hardcore shit, dude. Well, our heroes eventually win and are sent back to their own world, but there's a lot of, rewriting of history fuckery happening. And we're actually introduced to Kamen Rider number 3 in this. And in a big way, this is just an advertisement for a movie.
Pretty much, yeah. Watch our movie.
There was so much feeling in that. I was bracing myself for all that feeling.
You were bracing for me to yell at like a real Toei executive,
yeah.
But no. I've become complacent about Watch Our Movie over the years.
You slide into it. They turn the heat up little by little on you, and you don't notice the water boiling around you.
Yeah, between Kikaider and Sentai crossovers and soccer episodes and what have you. Watch Our Movie just doesn't carry the weight it used to.
No, it doesn't. We learn absolutely nothing about Kamen Rider 3 in this episode. We learn that he can fight Go pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
He can kick
Go's
ass.
He beats the shit out of Maha.
Yeah.
And he drives a car.
He is real mad that kids don't know about the original Kamen Riders. So already I feel a connection with him.
He's basically made to be you. He's like, you think you're rider number 2? Time to give you a history lesson.
Time to give you a history lesson with my fists.
I find that's the best way to teach history.
You would know, wouldn't you?
Literally pound it into your students' heads.
Anyway, what did you think about today's episode?
you know what? My expectations were absolutely rock bottom. I was at in, like, around where I go during the day, all day today. I won't reveal it. I checked online over the course of the day to see what the general opinion was, and they said, oh, it's boring, it's garbage. And I mean, yeah, it's a crossover. I wasn't surprised, but going into it, I came at home and started watching it, and my expectations were rock bottom, like, beneath the floor. And I thought it was pretty good. It had its moments. Like, all the disgusted looks that Tomari gives the Ninjas. And the I'm blanking on good moments. The part where Tomari and Takaharu...
That's not saying much, man. Like, no, I can't remember any other good moments, but I'm sure it's good.
No, no, remember the part where Takaharu is sitting by the docks and he's like, I know I said all that stuff, but I don't know where to find the guy. And then Tomari comes and finds him. And they're like, yeah, let's go do it together! And then it cuts, and they're sitting in an alleyway, and they're like, I know we said all that stuff, but really find the guy. It's like...
That was a good moment.
There was a lot of little things that I thought were kind of cute, but yeah, overall, it's like, whatever. I mean, it's better than last year's. Last year's fucking... The Gaim Tokyuger crossover made me want to puke all over myself. This one was pretty good, I thought. What did you think, Jeff?
They should put that on the box for the DVD when they finally released that episode. Made me want to puke all over myself.
No, no, no. It's like, you know, the Blu-ray version would be like, did not make me want to puke all over myself, Liam.
Five-star review.
What did you think of the crossover?
I thought that no matter how worked up I ever got, I would never be able to write hotter fan fiction than what happened between... Takaharu and Shinosuke this episode.
Takaharu getting arrested, I thought, was another kind of silly bit when Shinosuke's trying to interrogate him, and he's a fucking ninja.
Yeah, he's trying to interrogate him, and Takaharu's like, you're great, let's be pals.
Takaharu showing off his nuanced character.
His nuanced character, God, he's the worst actor I've ever seen in anything Japanese.
Anything? That's a stretch when you're talking about Toku. Are you sure you don't want to redact that statement?
Anything.
Really?
Anything.
Those are some hot opinions.
Yeah, but they just, like, smiled at each other and, like, touched hands a lot and, like, looked away bashfully all the time. I was like, this is hot as fuck.
You feel the fire rising. That's why Takaharu is always saying he's getting fired up and it's so hot.
His dick's getting fired up is what's happening. No, but their friendship happened out of nowhere. They went from, like, 0 to 10 with that friendship.
Well, they had to over the course of the crossover.
Well, they're going
to
be in the movie. They could have, like, continued their friendship in the movie.
Well, I think what's going to happen in the movie is it's probably going to be like last year, where the giant robot rider is going to show up. Like, the whole movie's going to be about Kamen Riders, right? And then in the very end, the giant robot rider is going to show up, and then out of nowhere... The ninjas are going to come and be like, you guys need help? So I don't know if they're actually going to, like, they're not going to play a part in the story, that's for goddamn sure.
Even if they actually did, it would be like, Takaharu would be like, Shinosuke, hey, I love you. And Shinosuke would be like, I'm almost evil now, I don't remember you.
Yeah, Shinosuke's a Shocker agent in the movie, because of the altered timeline.
He's a Shocker policeman.
Yeah.
That's something that I just thought about a second ago, is that the police people have the Shocker logo on them. Does every job have the Shocker logo on them then? Like in Shocker World, does like the ice cream man lean out of his giant eagle truck to give ice cream cones to the Japanese children?
That was the big Shocker plan that Rider 1 and 2 were trying to stop for the whole like 100 episodes, is they wanted to put their logo on everything. It was extreme branding that was pushing in on Toei's market. You couldn't have that.
I feel like there's a tinfoil hat conspiracy here somewhere.
But yes, in Shocker World, everything is Shocker. Food is Shocker. Police are Shocker.
Everything has golden wing insignias on them.
I could live with that. If that's...
Everybody dresses like a Nazi, but not a Nazi. Wink!
Yeah, we know. If that was the end result of Shocker's plans, I think I could live with that. Everything else seems the same in Shocker World.
You know, everybody's... angrier in Shocker World. Did you see, like, the timeline got messed with a little bit, and they barely mention it, but they're like, things started to change, and the chief is like, you catch them and you throw them in jail, I hate them, they're evil.
That's true. That's I guess if we can get on that now, the way the Drivecast acts in this episode is like, what the fuck? I guess it's a result of the time stream changing, if you want to really stretch it out. But it's like, Chief's like, fucking let the ninjas die. Belt's like, yeah, just fucking lock them up, just seal them in a room until they're dead. That'll be the solution to all our problems. Like, what the fuck?
That's how the police solve their problems. They just cask of Amontillado that motherfucker. Just wall him up, let him die.
And I don't even think you can attribute it to the timeline morph, because Kiriko and the Belt eventually come around and they become good guys, so like...
Kiriko and the belt. Like, you're mad at him. The Belt.
The fucking Belt! But like... It was so weird. It was like, remember when the trailer for Man of Steel came out, and there's the bit where Superman, as a kid, saves the bus full of other kids, and Pa Kent's like, you shouldn't have done that, Superman, you're gonna reveal your powers, and Superman's like, Clark Kent's like, what do you, should I just let them all die? And Pa Kent's like, maybe you should've. It was like that, where you're like, what the fuck are you saying? You're just not-
That was also a bad thing that I didn't enjoy.
Yeah, but this isn't a Superman podcast. Thank fucking God.
I like Superman, just not that movie.
Yeah.
I've outed myself as a Superman fan. I'm sure there'll be tons of people like, he's a boring character or whatever. It's opinions. Anyway, you're right that everybody was acting really strangely in this episode, and I think the person that was acting the strangest, at least in the beginning, was Shinosuke. Like, he's supposed to be intelligent. That's his thing. He's supposed to, like, figure shit out. And he shows up and he's like, hey, you guys who don't look anything like fucking Roidmudes, you're Roidmudes, and you caused all this, even though you weren't here when it started.
Well, like you said, the heroes have to fight each other. And if that requires Drive to be a fucking idiot for one scene, then that's what's gonna happen. That's how it is.
As the gigantic Super Sentai fan I am, who knows everything about Super Sentai.
Yes, you're a walking encyclopedia.
I have to say, Takaharu would have been a much better character to be an idiot.
Yeah, definitely. From what
Instead of the detective who prides himself on his ability to be a detective and figure things out.
Mm-hmm. And he was always, like, figuring out the plot twist before the audience, but I don't know.
Yeah, speaking of figuring out the plot twist, he goes into this place, and he sees an eagle on the wall, and he sees an eagle in the backdrop of this dude wearing a wig's fucking photograph, and he's like, I know who it is! Shocker!
What a fucking surprise.
He was like, 2 plus 2 plus blank equals 14, and he was fucking right.
Yeah, Shinosuke's pretty good at that shit. Every time I watch an episode of Drive, which has been not much, because this is a Sentai podcast and not a Rider podcast. Every time I watch an episode of Drive, I always try to see if I can figure out what's going on before Shinosuke, and he always puts together some fucking piece that I don't get. And maybe I'm just stupid, but sometimes...
You're not stupid. Well, you are stupid, okay. But that's not what I'm getting at. Shinosuke is like, you and I both play tabletop games a lot, like RPGs and stuff. D&D for people who don't really know, but not really D&D like other games. Shinosuke is a character whose player is just giving him fucking meta knowledge. He knows everything from the outside of the story in, so he's just like, yeah, it's Shocker.
Must be.
I knew that.
Yeah, it's the only explanation.
How would my character not know it's Shocker?
He figures shit out because otherwise the plot would be at a standstill. He'd have to stand around and be like, oh, I'm gonna be, oh, fuck.
It would be like a fucking whole season of a show of him trying to figure out who the hell Shocker is.
Can you imagine if the investigations of Red Mutes actually went at the length of real-life murder investigations? He'd be a whole fucking...
Like, it would be like a fucking cold case file where he has to open it up 20 years later to find the answer.
Gotta wait like 3 weeks to get all the witness statements. And what a great show that would be.
Oh, hey. Law and Order with Bugmen. Okay, this episode had its ups and downs, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be.
Definitely.
Mostly because everybody was just shitting on it immediately, like, this is awful.
and people are entitled to their opinion.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I'm not gonna say it was good by any stretch of the imagination.
I won't stick up for it, but I was watching it and I was like, I'm waiting for this to get really terrible. When's it gonna happen?
It was a standard crossover.
Yeah, it didn't happen. like
I described it earlier as a superhero Tyson movie, but shorter.
Compressed, thank God, because if there's one thing those movies need, it's to be compressed a little bit. And maybe to not have really stupid plots, but...
What those movies need is an actual plot. Yeah. That's what they really need.
Yeah. Well...
But we're not here to talk about some dumb franchise for children like Kamen Rider. We're here to talk about the adults franchise, Super Sentai.
Of course.
In that way, let's talk about the most important Super Sentai.
Okay.
And that's Kamen Rider Chaser.
Yes. For those of you who don't know, this is another case of bad podcast recording timing. We have better scans of Kamen Rider Chaser now. Like, before we had that blurry-ass video, but now we got, like, a full-on shot. It's high resolution. You can see all the details in the helmet and the suit and everything. I'll post that down in the description of the blog post. If you're watching from YouTube, it'll be in the blog post. Jeff, what do you think of Kamen Rider Chaser?
He looks like he belongs in Forza. He looks like a spaceman.
He does look kind of smooth and white.
He's silver.
You know what? He looks like a guy wearing hockey pads. That's what I thought when I saw him. He looks like he's wearing
hockey pads. He does look like a guy wearing hockey pads.
When I first saw him, I was like, when I saw him in the blurry video, I was like, oh, maybe it's like a kiboshed Maha suit, because it's really like smooth and white, and I was like, I don't like it, but eh. Now that I see the details, I like it even less. I don't like it at all now. It really looks like sporting goods.
I like the helmet.
The helmet is cool.
I think the helmet's pretty cool with, like, the four antenna on it and, like, the half face that still has a little bit of, like, the black of Machine Chaser. The little bit of asymmetry that his Machine Chaser form had. The body looks like it was just fucking thrown together with what they had in the back.
Really?
And they just fucking spray painted it silver and called it a day. It
doesn't look good at all.
I don't feel like Liam does here that it's like a piece of shit, but it's not an A+ suit at all. Like, it's a C at best.
Like, it's not that Drive's had a great track record for suits so far, but base rider suits have been good. Type Speed is good. Mach's base suit is really good. Type Formula.
Mach's base suit masterpiece. Is the Type Formula's growing on me.
Good.
I know I talked so much shit about Type Formula, but seeing it, like, in this episode with, like, Type Technique...
Yeah, you see them side by side, Formula don't look so bad now, does it?
No, it doesn't. But Type Technique makes a pile of shit with bug eyes taped to it look like a good Kamen Rider suit.
Type Technique, I don't know if I've said this, Type Technique looks so bad that every Rider suit throughout history now retroactively looks a little bit better. And, like, I look back, I'm like, Ryuki survived? It's not so bad.
It's not so bad if you don't pay attention to the chest. It's pretty good.
You put it next to Type Technique, it's looking pretty good. I like it.
God, that's a bad suit. But that really makes me appreciate Type Formula.
Yeah.
Type Formula has a great color scheme. The suit itself is really good. The chest piece is really oversized, but compared to Type Technique, A+. 10 out of 10 suit.
I'm glad you finally come around. I see the drugs are working.
But Mach is the best suit in this whole fucking series. It's so good.
Mach's base suit is like, it's so simple, but so effective at what it's like, the look, the scarf, the stripe. It's striking. I love it.
It's such a great suit. Like, I really love, like, white Kamen Rider suits anyway.
There aren't many.
So... There aren't, no. Because in Japan, white is, like, the color of death.
Yeah.
Black is not, white is.
Yeah.
And that's a real strong connotation. Maybe why Go keeps dying.
Maybe a little bit, especially when Kamen Rider 3 walks up to him and says, "Hey, Mach, I've seen the future. You're gonna die." And then walks away. I'm trying to decipher the hints there towards what the spoiler is in the movie, but I can't. I've yet to figure it out. This is some David Lynch shit. I'm gonna need to look into it a little further.
Unknown to everyone, Kamen Rider 3 has, like, Nostradamus-ass powers. He can just see the future that none of us can see.
I think it's because he spent so much time fucking about in the time stream. Maybe he just knows, I don't know, movies.
That's true. I just want to point out really quickly that when the suit actor is wearing... the Kamen Rider 3 suit, it fits him, right? It looks pretty normal or whatever, but I've noticed quite often that the ass is just drooping off the suit. like a sad, empty ass in the back. Especially when, like, the actual actor who plays Kamen Rider 3 is wearing it without the helmet. It's just like, it's like he's got a full diaper in the back and I can't not notice it.
You know what? I actually didn't notice that, but I guess they made it for a Kamen Rider suit actor with a big, with a nice big butt, like Takaiwa or something.
Yep.
They didn't expect to get someone with some flat pancake butt.
This podcast is mostly about people in spandex asses.
Yeah. You can't avoid talking about butts. You get on there eventually. We went about 21 minutes without discussing butts, so
it's a job well done. Record. It's a job well done.
Yeah. Starting now, we'll keep track.
Speaking of beautiful suits, let's talk about a suit that we saw a little bit of a clip of. We'll go ahead and put that clip in the description on the blog. Type High Speed is immaculate.
For a suit that's just like the regular base suit touched up a little, it looks so good.
Like, it's that color scheme, man. That fucking silver and chrome. It's amazing looking.
The little like wing motif he's got with the wings coming off of the forehead and the shoulders all redone with the black stripes. Who knew? It's just a few details changed, and it looks beautiful.
Yeah, you need to fucking put shades on when you watch that clip. I'm warning you, put some shades on before you watch that clip. Fucking blinding.
It's a very, very shitty cam rip clip, but it's all we have right now of the suit in motion. And, you know how all the types, like, type wild, you have to be fired up, type technique, you gotta be a cool guy, etc., that?
Yes.
With type high speed, I'm sure you guessed from watching the video, you have to be a gentleman. So,
yeah.
That's why Tomari walks out, and he's all, like, polite, and he's wearing the slick-ass suit, and Kiriko is his butler with the mustache.
With a painted-on tiny mustache. Doing her best to sound like a dude.
Yeah, she tries hard. It's a pretty great clip, though.
It really is. And I can foresee a million posts on a million message boards and a million websites saying, Shadowy Drive.
It's great. It's a goddamn shame that they're taking such a great suit and they're using it only on a little Hyper Battle DVD called, like, I don't remember the title of it exactly, but it's something like The Birth of Type High Speed or something like that. We'll be getting it in a while.
You can bet your ass they're going to make an action figure of that, and it is going to be a web exclusive.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it's a movie suit.
It will never see the light of day in America.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Or Canada,
what a great,
as the case may be.
Like, I remember back when the Drive Driver first got sold and people were hacking it, and one of the first sounds that got hacked out of it was Type High Speed. So what I thought was that it was going to be a wizard thing where you have a bunch of base forms and then upgraded versions of the base forms as the second form, because there's this high speed,
like
get
thing.
Wild, ultra technique, stuff like that. So when I saw high speed revealed, I was like, oh, that looks great, I can't wait for that. But now you can imagine my my disappointment when it's just a fucking HBV exclusive.
That suit is so fucking pretty.
Yeah.
I want to marry that suit.
We should just do a whole podcast on that suit instead of Sentai.
Yeah, I'm rethinking this whole Super Sentai podcast thing we've been doing for however many episodes.
Yeah, it's not going to last.
For 25 minutes, we've been doing it.
Is that enough about Type Speed? Have you, or Type High Speed? Have you said all you wanted to say?
I don't know. I love the suit. I love the act that he has to put on for it. I love the fact that the transformation jingle is played like super slow and cool.
When he's
transforming.
Very nice detail.
But I'm super curious about the Roidmude he's fighting is Drive.
Yeah,
how does
Drive
that work?
With a number on his forehead. It's probably just a Roidmude that can mimic powers or something.
Probably so.
That's what I can imagine.
But we get the absolute best part about it, where after Shinosuke transforms into Type High Speed, and I'm just telling you what's in the video now, you don't even have to watch it. Watch it anyway. When he transforms into Type High Speed, we get, like, a fucking side-by-side comparison, like a car commercial.
Yeah, it's so
of
good.
Of both versions.
So good! I'm gonna put that video down there first thing in the description, before even the description of the episode. You gotta see it. You gotta see that shit.
We've been talking about movies, and we talked a little bit about Tyson GP, but I wanted to point out that there's a bunch of scans that came out of Super Hero Tyson GP Kamen Rider 3 that involve Kamen Rider 1, 2, Drive, like, Fize is in there for some reason sometimes. These scans are beautiful, and a lot of people have been complaining about how the Rider 1 and Rider 2 suits look in movie crossovers and stuff. The base suits look fine, and the helmets look good, but they have this giant, like, fucking baseball catcher's chest piece on the front now.
That was not nearly...
It just flops around randomly.
Nearly that big in the old shows.
No, but these scans show, like, some of the best-looking Showa suits I've ever seen. And it makes me hopeful that they're actually going to be in the movie. Like, the little preview bits we've seen, the suits look pretty good.
Mm.
And I'm hoping that maybe they're taking a different tact with the Showa suits. Because I've complained about this before, throughout all of Kamen Rider Black, every time Black needs to do anything more dangerous than walking in a straight line towards a camera, they take the big leg pieces off that match his armor, and he wears, like, a leotard with little circles on the knees.
Yeah, and it's really, really obvious in Heisei vs. Showa that he's wearing a leotard.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Like, when you watch it in 720p, and it's like, oh my god, like, he looks like he's wearing pixie boots. It doesn't look good on him.
And unfortunately, the scans for Grand Prix show him wearing that leotard again. But I'm hoping that maybe they're moving slowly towards adapting the old Showa suits slightly so that they'll be able to be used in motion correctly.
That might be nice.
I also hope and pray for the return of Kamen Rider 2's black helmet.
Okay, now because you're just pipe dreaming here.
I know. It really wasn't that long ago. Like, people say, oh, he hasn't worn that black helmet since Black RX, which is wrong. He wore it in all of the Forze appearances he did, including in Kamen Rider Megamax.
Yeah, that's where I know it from, is the...
In the O's. I think that was an O's movie.
There's a WebM from Megamax, from him doing his punch with all the modern special effects. It looks really cool, and he's got the black helmet on. So, yeah.
Yeah. That black helmet is great. Like, if anybody actually follows the Rider Club Tumblr, you might have seen ages ago I posted up a couple sketches I did of Rider 1 and 2, and Rider 2 had his black helmet. I don't think I've ever drawn him without his black helmet. It's so, like, ingrained in my mind because of Kamen Rider Spirits.
I do like the black helmet a lot, and this might be absolute heresy to say, but I always kind of didn't like how Rider 1 and Rider 2 had almost identical suits, minus the gloves and boots. So I think the black helmet is good because it's an instant. You can tell right away that's Kamen Rider 2, and he's got a different look. It's unique. I like it.
Yeah, that was like a later thing in the original series, and it was born out of necessity. They had created two, as they always do. They create one suit for close-up stunts and one suit for far-away stunts. And they also tend to have a duplicate on hand in case the first one gets destroyed. Well, they did not have a duplicate of Rider 2's suit when it got destroyed. So they basically just used the Rider 1 suit and gave it red gloves and boots.
I see.
And, well, helmet. They used the Rider 1 helmet. Yeah. Of course, the undersuit had to have the one stripe instead. Yeah. But that is the origin of them looking exactly the same. And after a short period of time of Rider 2 appearing again in crossovers with, you know, V3 and with X, and they gave him a black helmet. They gave him his black helmet back to differentiate, or dark green, as the case may be, because his original helmet was, like, almost black, dark green for almost the entire original series.
I'm thinking, I've been racking my brain this whole time instead of listening to you talk. I'm trying to remember if they used the black helmet or not in the Stronger finale, because the seven legendaries show up there, and number two is obviously a part of it, but I don't remember.
You know what? We have technology. Why don't you talk to our viewers about something while I use my phone very unprofessionally to look that up?
Yeah, actually, I'll talk to something about the viewers.
Good sentence.
This week, I've been watching more Kamen Rider Kabuto, and I finally got to the part where Kagami gets the Gitak Zector.
The best part. The best part!
See, I was waiting for Kagami to get his belt because I like Kagami and I want him to get the belt and start riding, but I wasn't expecting the actual two-parter that featured Gitak to be so good.
Holy fuck, black helmet.
It was the black helmet.
Bam!
Okay.
Yep.
Good. Good. That's another...
Hell yeah, motherfuckers.
Another point for Stronger. Another reason why you should watch Stronger if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, absolutely watch Stronger.
Go back there.
And yeah, Liam has been watching Kabuto recently. Mm. And I've already seen all of Kabuto, so I'm trying my hardest not to spoil him on when the series goes bad.
Don't tell me. I'm almost halfway through.
It doesn't go, like, irredeemably bad. Like, you'll finish the series and be like, I'm glad I watched that. Hmm. But it goes bad at some point. But yeah. Gattaca is the best part of that series. Nothing else in that series compares to seeing Kagami finally become a rider.
For those of you that don't know, it's a little bit where they make a Gattaca sector, but it's like super dangerous and it tries to murder everybody that wants to use it. And at the same time, Kagami finds a little like abandoned electrical like power plant that's just stuffed with worms. And he gets trapped inside and there's a little kid in there. And he gets out and he's like, I gotta use Gattaca to go in and save that little kid who's like hiding in the depths of the electrical power plant. So he goes to get Gattaca Zector, and the Gattaca Zector beats him up, and he's like, oh, I gotta do something, and he runs into the power plant, and he faces down against all odds, and I won't spoil the end of it, because you should really watch. He becomes Gattaca. The Gattaca Zector fucking chooses him, you know it.
You spoiled the end of it, you motherfucker.
Well, I opened it by saying he becomes Gattaca. I can give that away, at least. But
yeah, that's true.
It's a very Kamen Rider-ish episode about a hero who faces down all odds and who spits in the face of people telling him not to pursue justice and truth. And it's a very good arc for Kagami because you get to see him develop a little bit as a character from like a very classical kind of coward to someone who grabs hold of what he wants. Watch Kabuto if you haven't seen Kabuto. I know most people have seen it, but for the three of you out there, watch Kabuto. It's really good.
I don't know if I would call him a classical coward. He was, like, an idiot. That's what I would call him.
Well, he was... I guess, he was kind of a goof. But, like, it's nice to see him getting what he deserves. He gets something good.
What was really great about it is you finally get to see him become a rider after it was teased earlier in the series when he becomes the bee. And he gives up the bee, like, I'm gonna give up this great power that I've wanted this entire series because I love you, Tendo. You're my greatest friend. And Tendo's like, I don't even like you, motherfucker. And you're like, that's great. That's awesome.
That's another thing that I like about Kagami is no matter how much Tendo shits on him, he doesn't bear any ill will towards him. He's a nice guy.
He is a doormat.
Yeah.
Of a person.
Yeah, he is. That's why he's so relatable to all the viewers, including myself, I guess.
So far we have Liam saying that he feels that he's like Q in Drive. And that he is like Kagami. We're learning a lot about who Liam is on the inside.
Oh, well, you already know, you fuckstick.
Yeah, he sucks.
You're trying to lead the viewers into liking you more than me. I see it now.
No one has ever liked me.
That's true.
I'm not trying to lead anyone into liking
me. That's true. I don't have to worry about that, I guess. I want to talk now about if you haven't seen it, this was just revealed recently, a Kamen Rider arcade machine that just got, it's been revealed for a while, but there was a video trailer of it recently. You've seen that, Jeff.
Yeah, I saw it just a little while ago, as a matter
of fact. Like 30 minutes ago. It's a little thing that's like a Xbox Kinect. It's a full body tracking arcade machine where you do the Henshin pose. It's for little kids, obviously. I don't think it would work with an adult, but you do the Henshin pose and it turns you into Drive on this camera. And you swing your arms about like a fucking madman, and you blow up Roidmunes with, like, the sword, and you can do the tire change, and there's a number of little challenges to overcome. It looks really nifty.
It does look really nifty, and for anyone who's ever done anything in Gary's mod, Drive's body begins wiggling like a fucking bowl full of jelly immediately when you transform, just like in Gary's mod.
That's my favorite part, is that even though it's a trailer that's meant to show off the arcade machine, and it's like, whoa, look how cool this is, come see it, you can still see the animations fucking up really, really hard.
Yeah, like, the kids transform, it shows, like, a live feed of what the kid is doing, like, back at him on the screen.
Yeah.
And you do the transformation pose, and the screen freezes with a photo of you, and, you know, you transform into Kamen Rider Drive, and you're like a little child baby Drive.
Yeah.
And immediately Drive's knees go in, and his ass goes out, and he starts wobbling around like a fucking drunk frat boy.
The whole time watching that trailer, I have a feeling it wouldn't work on an adult, but the whole time I was like, what would happen if an adult stood in front of there? Would it be like a bunch of little tiny Drive parts spread all over his body? Would it be like a big stretched drive JPEGs all over it. What would it look like, I wonder? Like...
Fuck, that would be the best if it just, like, stretched out and pixelated all over. And the arms still couldn't reach all the way down his adult arms. They were just, like, halfway down his elbow.
They're making a game that they're 100% ensuring that adults will be too embarrassed to play it. This is kids only, motherfucker. You can't just buy this video game on Amazon.com and think no one's gonna see you. You gotta go out into public.
I don't know. I read a few stories about, like, the little children's, like, slot games.
What, like?
Like, adults coming in and putting, like, a fucking folding chair down in front of it and sitting down and playing it because it's a child level.
That's me if I was in Japan. If I lived there. Just play kid slots all day. Super Sentai slots.
I don't actually know what game it was off the top of my head, but... Who knows? There's always, like, the fucking, like, Sailor Moon games for little girls that, like, adult men in trench coats have been photographed playing.
In Japan?
Yeah.
Well, shit. I guess in Japan it's not... Well, I guess it wouldn't be surprising here either. I mean...
No, it really wouldn't.
Sailor Moon
reaches... Canada's fucked up.
Canada. Everything, yeah, we go hard here in Canada. We're a bunch of fucking weirdos.
That is so true.
So I fell off the wagon this week.
Oh yeah, you did. You fucking shelled out money right into Toei's gaping maw.
It was more than what I told you. This week I started buying Toku toys again, and I was buying old Toku toys from like early mid-2000s Rider series, which means the price has been jacked up to a ridiculous degree. But I got myself, this just got in today, a fucking Legend Rider series V-buckle. The Ryuki belt. It's got the decks with it too. It's got two decks, which I'm liking a lot.
It's got two decks, one for Ryuki and one for Liam's husband for all fucking time, Kamen Rider Knight.
My actual waifu, Ren Akiyama, Kamen Rider Knight. And it's I don't have much to say about it. I mean, the Ryuki belt is really simple. You just slap the thing in. But the other night, I was really sick. And in keeping with me making really awful decisions while I'm sick, I bought a Kabuto Zector on eBay. It was...
Oh, you bought the Kabuto Zector itself?
It was a bid. Somebody put up a bid. They said, I just have the Zector, no belt. I'll sell it for like 13 bucks. So I got it mad cheap. Just the Zector.
Shit.
So that was really good. That was a golden opportunity. Usually eBay has the most expensive shit, so I don't know. It's a good fit.
See, that's what I want. I don't really care about the belt because my fucking massive adult frame would never fit it. But I want a Zector. I really would love to have the Gatak Zector.
Oh, well, good luck finding the Gatak Zector. The cheapest one I ever found and bought was $140.
You bought it?
Yeah. I told you, I fell off the wagon.
I love how you slipped that in like I wouldn't fucking notice.
I have some extra money lying around, and I wanted...
Jesus Christ, no kidding you have some extra money laying around. Who's gonna feed your children now?
They'll play with the Zector.
They'll just chew on the Zector, that'll nourish them.
Toei's fault for making such cool toys, and also the sellers for jacking up the price of such a ridiculous degree on eBay. Those fuckers.
It's a fucking disease, man. Like, every time I see a new Kamen Rider toy, or Super Sentai, since I love Super Sentai more.
Right, of course, Super Sentai.
Every time I see a new one, it's like, I start to fucking sweat, and I convulse a little bit, like, I gotta have it, man, it's so cool.
I don't understand that. Why don't Western companies, like, market the same kind of shit that these guys do? Like, you don't see... Western shows with, like, role-play toys with, like, items that characters have in the show. You don't see that kind of stuff in Western cartoons, and I think that sort of thing would be really, really popular with kids. Like,
I think there's actually a market for that here, but they're not taking advantage of it in the same way that you're thinking. Like, think about Hulk hands, or, like, the Iron Man mask and gloves, yeah. Or Captain America's shield.
But the thing is, like, the Iron Man mask and gloves... And the Hulk hands and the Captain America shield, they don't look anything like what they're trying to be. Whereas, like, if you go on Mandarake or whatever on Bioloxi, you're getting an almost prop accurate item. Like, it looks...
I've said something about this before. I don't know if I said it on this podcast or not, but it's easy to make prop accurate toys when your props are just fucking toys.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean, though. The Kamen Rider and Super Sentai, they make it work.
Yeah, just give Captain America that tiny little shitty shield with the raised star and sell that.
I'm not talking about big budget superhero movies. Obviously, those are going to have big things that you can't really replicate in the fucking Toys R Us toy. But I mean, like, TV shows, you know?
What, like Law and Order?
No. Oh my god. What are you... Why do I do this fucking...
Why are you I'm even this on close. This podcast?
I'm on the edge. I'm a man on the edge right now, you fucker.
I've already gone over the edge.
I already went over the edge. I bought a goddamn Katak Sector. My life is done.
You're like, I want to fucking get a new place to live, but I guess I need a goddamn Zector more.
I need a full Zector collection more than I need a house right now.
Yeah, good luck finding fucking the Bee.
Oh, the Bee is out for about the same amount of money as Katak is, so...
Really? God, you're going to be so poor.
I'm not. I'm not touching the Bee. I'm done with Kabuto after Katak gets here. I swear.
Sure you are.
I swear. I swear.
Yeah, what happened with Gaim? How many goddamn lock seeds do you have?
You know what? I was done with Gaim after I got the Acorn and Durian pre-order lock seeds. And I have held by that promise. I didn't buy any more Gaim toys after that.
I have a belt as well. I can't fucking take up for myself this way. Upstairs right now, sitting on my shelf, is a Kamen Rider double belt with all the Gaia memories laid out and Cyclone and Joker inside of it, just glowing for my love.
Yeah, you have the DX double driver, right?
Yeah, I do.
And you have all the Gaia memories?
I have all the Gaia memories except Fang and Extreme.
But like the basic ones.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I have all six.
Yeah. I figured the belt only came with Cyclone and Joker.
Nope, comes with all six.
Well, shit.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite thing that I own.
Toku Toys are some pretty sick shit.
And I only have one lock seed, and it's Banana, because it's the best lock seed.
Banana's a good choice.
But it was really hard not to get a ton of others.
Lock seeds, they're just lock seeds. There was something inherently cool about lock seeds. I remember when I was watching Gaim, I was looking for lock seeds to buy. And my lady friend, who hadn't seen Gaim yet at the time, she hadn't seen any Kamen Rider at all, but she looked over at my computer screen and she was like, what are those? Those look cool. I want one. Like, even if you don't know anything about Kamen Rider, even if you haven't seen the show, there's just something inherently cool about the design of lock seeds, the geometric-looking fruits. It's just a nifty aesthetic they have.
They are nifty, and it's such a stupid concept, too. I'm not sure why we love it so much.
Everything about Gaim.
Amazing.
Everything about Gaim was stupid on paper, but it worked pretty well on the screen, so.
That's true. And Gaim sort of went against my expectations in a lot of ways, because I bought that banana lock seed because I loved Baron so much. I thought that was the coolest suit, and that he was going to be my favorite character. Mm. And he became, like, you know, a whiny bitch after a certain period of time.
He became my favorite character.
He became Knight 2.0.
If you got so an Liam edgelord, loves him. If you got an edgelord in your show, that's my guy.
Yeah. Unironically, too. He's not like he doesn't like them ironically.
Oh, no. I love him.
My favorite character became Zack, because Zack had no power whatsoever, but he still fucking tried. He was still fighting for what's right.
He gave his best. He broke his leg. Zack was good.
He is the knuckle man of my heart.
Zack was a great character. A lot of people liked Zack, and justly so. He was like a chill, cool guy. He didn't want to take over the world. He didn't want to get the forbidden fruit or whatever. He didn't have huge ambitions. He was just like, I just want to be good. I just want to be cool.
I want to save the day.
Yeah.
I want to make sure everybody's okay. And anytime Coda was like, hey, we gotta save these people, and everybody else was like, oh, I don't know, I love my
I'm
too
so
much,
full of
whatever.
My, oh, I'm so conflicted. Oh.
Fucking Zack was like, yeah, let's do it, bro! Yeah.
Zack was almost the secondary rider.
Yeah, he was, and he was like getting his ass beat, but he still won fights with a fucking nutlock seed, the lowest of the low.
That's, everybody in Gaim had some sort of, like, beef with Coda, as like, oh, he's a bad guy, he's secretly a traitor, he's just a dickhole to me all the time, except for Zack, who's like, Zack is just a nice guy, he's all up front, he's honest, he doesn't have any secrets, he just wants to help.
And it's, in any other series, that might have come off as, like, the most bland character in the series, but when everyone is a whiny bitch, the normal guy is the best character on the show. I really liked Gaim, though. Don't get me wrong.
I liked Gaim a lot, too.
But I really wanted to get Zack's Lockseed, and I still really do.
Well, the DX Walnut Lockseed is really hard to find. You're going to have to get the candy toy or the, what's that other one, Gashapon. But thankfully, Lockseeds mostly look the same between all three kinds of them.
Yeah,
so
the banana I have is a candy toy, and it does everything that the DX does except, like, I don't even know what the difference is, honestly.
The DX, all the ones I have are DX, and I can tell you they have full belt functionality, as in, like, if you have a belt, it'll work exactly like it does in the show. You don't have to press
extra
buttons.
I do not have a belt.
Yeah, so if you don't have a belt, it really doesn't matter if you have DX or not.
This has been a 48-minute-long commercial for Toei.
Toei, now actually call us. You owe us, like, $60 for all this plugging we just did.
This is like a late night infomercial for Toei. Like, look at the action on these lock seeds. Look at this banana. That's just craftsmanship right there.
If you call now, we'll throw in a shift car for free.
We can't give away these things.
Act fast. Call toll free.
Act fast. Start your engine. Is there anything else you want to talk about in this Super Sentai podcast that's obviously not about Kamen Rider?
No, I'm all Sentai'd out this week.
Well, join us next time where we'll be talking about Shuriken Sentai Ninja, and we won't have to talk about any of this stupid Kamen Rider crap anymore.
Oh, thank God, I hate Kamen Rider.
God, it's so bad. What's with those stupid bug eyes? He's a fucking... He's like a bike man, and he has bug eyes. It's stupid.
Bugs, you can easily crush them. They don't make good superheroes.
No, your superhero should be based on, like, ninjas 7 or 8 times.
Yeah.
It's good shit.
Ninjas and dinosaurs, all you need.
Ninjas, dinosaurs, cars. You're done. That's all you need. Throw in a series every now and then about something else.
Yeah, just a little bit of variety.
All right, well, thanks for listening. We have a Twitter, which will be linked in the description. We have a way you can email us, which will be in the description. I can't say those names because it ruins the joke.
What joke? What are you talking about? We also have a blog.
Yeah, the blog will be the first link, and I'm sure most of you are, like, going to the blog now instead of the YouTube. Like, the metrics of who's watching what is definitely showing that.
Yeah, but you can watch it however you want. I don't care.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me at all.
Whether you're on iTunes
Tell your friends. Tell your friends about us. Tell your friends' friends. Tell your mom. Be like, hey, mom, there's this cool podcast about guys in spandex. You should listen to it.
Yeah, even if she doesn't care, maybe someone in her book club does. I don't know.
If your mom's hot, tell her to listen to us.
Is this harassment? I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening.
See ya.